A strange sight in space. Whatever this thing is, was, it came from somewhere else. An alien aircraft?
There is that 0.1% that we can't explain.
If there's extraterrestrial life, he'll find it.
You know, I'm hopelessly spacey.
The chance to live on Mars? He'll risk it all.
They asked me point blank, Daddy, why do you want to leave us?
Is there life out there? He may prove it.
I think the likelihood of life in the universe is really high.
We travel the main streets looking for UFOs. Tonight on Chronicle. It's not often that astronomy ascends into the headlines.
This is historic, this discovery.
But the possibility of an alien spaceship will do that.
You know what I call that? Alien.
The cause, an unidentified flying object tracked in late 2017, tearing through our solar system with unexpected speed. Unbound by the elliptical orbit of a normal solar system object, no, whatever this thing is, was, it came from somewhere else. The first interstellar object ever observed in our solar system.
This object looked so strange to me that at some point I thought to myself that it needs to be put on the table, this possibility that it was manufactured by an advanced technology elsewhere rather than being of natural origin.
If Avi Loeb's theory sounds a little out there, well, many of his peers agree.
And of course, my colleagues had an issue with that because a lot of people have a prejudice. It's never aliens. So, of course, if you never expect something unusual, you will never discover it.
You may have noticed Loeb isn't wearing a tinfoil hat. In fact, he chairs the astronomy department at Harvard.
And people were wrong over the centuries on many things. They even put Galileo in house arrest.
Astronomers at the University of Hawaii first discovered the object and named it Oumuamua, Hawaiian for scout or messenger. But since it wasn't noticed until after it was on its way out of the solar system, there are no pictures. Best guesses are that Oumuamua is a few hundred feet long, shiny, and shaped like a cigar or possibly a pancake, dimensions that would argue against its being a meteor or a comet.
All of these facts together suggest that it's nothing we have seen before.
Well, it's sort of a high-level UFO, right? I mean, it falls into that category beautifully.
Michael Mandillo, professor of astronomy at BU, isn't offended in the least by Avi Loeb's controversial theory.
When you're in the realm of speculation, there are no rules, right?
But that doesn't mean Mandillo is on board with little green men.
It's always a possibility, but we got to worry about sort of going overboard in terms of making more out of something than it really is.
Just because Oumuamua doesn't conform to expected laws of astrophysics, says Mandillo, doesn't mean it's an alien spaceship. Far likelier to him, some natural process we simply don't understand yet.
We got to learn that lesson all the time, that everything out there isn't exactly a duplicate of what we already know. And that's the joy of discovery.
Still, discoveries of the last quarter century make the likelihood of extraterrestrial life stronger than ever, with thousands of newly discovered planets in our galaxy and billions more behind them.
If you roll the dice billions of times, my sense is that you will likely get conditions similar to the Earth, and I don't think we're special. Whoever argues that we are unique shows arrogance. It's sort of like an ostrich putting its head in the sand and not noticing anything that lies ahead.
It's hard to ignore reports from seasoned military pilots, and there have been many.
I was weirded out.
Retired Navy Commander David Fravor of Windham, New Hampshire, 18 years a fighter pilot. Fravor was patrolling the coast of San Diego with another F-18 Super Hornet when the two jets came face to face with something that defied explanation.
It looks like a 40-foot-long tic-tac with no wings.
A craft shaped like a tic-tac hovering about 50 feet over the Pacific Ocean. Fravor spoke with New Hampshire Chronicle.
So as we get to about here, about 12 o'clock, and we're descending, it goes and it turns like this, and it starts to mirror us, and it starts coming up. So I'm like, all right, that's pretty wild. So I go like this, and it's about the time I start pulling my nose onto it, and about here, it goes, and it's gone.
It is one of the most credible encounters with a possible UFO on record. It occurred in 2004, but the Pentagon didn't acknowledge its existence until this video was released a couple of years ago.
What do I think it was? I think it was something not from this world. Honestly.
And Commander Fravor was flying off the aircraft carrier Nimitz, which had picked up dozens of those objects traveling around at hypersonic speed. He says he expected to be debriefed by some government officials. Never was.
So fascinating. And back to Oumuamua, that mysterious visitor from deep space. Professor Loeb has a theory that it's sort of a solar sail or a light sail, a craft powered by the rays of sun and the stars. Very interesting, all of it to be continued.
Up next, to find extraterrestrial life, a UFOtog might help.
And it was a Humvee with this beautiful system would rise out with all these telescopes.
When we imagine the possibility of encountering extraterrestrial life forms, chances are good we are seeing them through the eyes of Douglas Trumbull. Trumbull is the Academy Award-winning special effects visionary behind futuristic films like Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Blade Runner, and Star Trek, The Motion Picture.
My work in the creative field is a mixture of art and technology. I build new cameras, I build new rigs, I build new gizmos, I build stuff like that. I'm fearless when it comes to engineering.
But in the 1990s, Trumbull abandoned Hollywood, retreating to a hillside compound deep in the woods of western Massachusetts, a skunk works or laboratory of sorts where he has launched an ambitious project, the creation of a new, fully immersive 3D standard for the film industry.
I'm trying to kick the movie industry into the future.
If totally revolutionizing an art form from the ground up weren't enough, Trumbull also manages to find time for his personal passion. He is an unrepentant UFO hunter.
Because I know how to make computer-controlled cameras and really good optics and camera positioning systems, we use that for visual effects all the time. So I thought, well, this is a natural of just adapting what I already know how to do and bringing it to bear on looking for anomalous whatever.
Call it a case of life imitating art. Trumbull, like a character in one of his sci-fi movies, embarked on a serious hunt for extraterrestrial life. His first project, the UFOtog. The name, a mashup of UFO and photog.
If you talk to any serious astronomer or philosopher, they'll say life in the universe is almost inevitable.
Trumbull's original UFOtog, a Humvee outfitted with high-powered telescopes and motion-tracking cameras.
And it was a Humvee with this beautiful system that would rise out with all these telescopes festooned on it, would turn around and hunt for anomalies in the sky.
The UFOtog was right up Mark D'Antonio's alley. After all, he'd always been starstruck.
At 9, I knew I was going to be an astronomer. I did. I told my parents, I'm going to be an astronomer. Why don't you get a job where you make some real money? Turns out they were right about that.
A Wesleyan-trained astronomer, D'Antonio hosts a regular live-stream tour of the night skies on YouTube.
Let's go check out the GoldenEye cluster if we can see it.
Using the observatory on his hillside property in Terryville, Connecticut.
I have subscribers from all over the world that actually come in and watch a live view of the universe unfold before them.
D'Antonio is also chief photo and video analyst for MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, the oldest and largest organization tracking alleged UFO sightings.
This was a submitted file from a user, okay? It's like, wow, look at that thing. So I zoomed in on it.
Most UFO photos that come to Antonio's way don't fly.
This actually was a delta wing bat wing kite that had LEDs on it. 99.9% are ordinary objects captured in extraordinary ways. But there is that 0.1% that we can't explain.
That's why D'Antonio was so excited to learn about Doug Trumbull's UFOtog project. Trouble was, Trumbull's mobile observatory was hitting some bumps in the road.
Even though it was automated and everything, it meant it was just one camera, one telescope, one location, and the whole thing just became untenable. And so that's when Mark and I started talking about the next generation.
The result, the UFOTOG 2, renamed the Aerial Anomaly Detection System.
We kind of mutually came to the same thought. Why don't we shrink this down and remove it from a vehicle, make it a platter, like a serving platter, that people can use and maybe even put in their own backyards.
8 high-res cameras, GPS positioning, multiple sensors to be placed in the desert, on mountains, anywhere under the infinite sky.
And we're designing one for the ocean, too.
If it all sounds a bit, well, starry-eyed, Douglas Trumbull would like to remind you that NASA is focused on the very same objective.
It's all about finding life in the universe. All these Mars probes are about finding life on Mars. It's all about life. And so I think that it's an inevitable thing, and I'd like to find out what it is before I'm gone.
And we'll learn more about Trumbull's big cinema project a little later in the program.
Right. Meanwhile, Trumbull and Antonio continue to work on their aerial anomaly detection system. They actually took UFO, UFOTOG, they've gotten rid of that name. They thought the UFO connotation might scare some investors away, and they're looking for investors. So it's now the Aerial Anomaly Detection System.
Well done. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up, moving to Mars, no forwarding address.
When we last caught up with software engineer Peter Deegan-Portnoy, he was getting ready for his big trip.
As difficult and as scary as this is, if I have a chance, I will go.
Deegan-Portnoy had been selected from a field of thousands to be a member of the Mars 100, a select group of adventurers who have volunteered to join Mars 1, a one-way trip to colonize the Red Planet in year 2031. Sound a little crazy?
Yes, I have heard that. And I think a lot of other people in our species I've also heard that. Imagine people getting into boats not much larger than this living room to cross the Atlantic Ocean and end up discovering the Americas. This idea of expansion and exploration, I think it's just deep, deep within us.
Mars One, a private Danish company, recently entered bankruptcy. But its nonprofit arm, the Mars One Foundation, vows to continue its mission to create the first human settlement on Mars.
Mars One is today and has always been a kind of a pie in the sky. If you thought a moonshot was a far-off chance, this is a Mars shot.
But for Deegan-Portnoy, a married father of 5, the decision to leave this planet has had real-world consequences.
My younger two, when they first learned about this, they asked me point blank, Daddy, why do you want to leave us? It was heartbreaking. I said, I don't want to leave you. I want you to grow up and be able to come and visit me on Mars.
His wife's initial excitement for him, short-lived.
And it really was sometime later that she said, you know, you've indicated that you're willing to leave us forever. You can't ever take that back. And she's right. And marriages are complex. Mars One is not the only factor, but it is a factor.
Deegan-Portnoy's marriage fell apart.
I had a choice to make, and it was never an easy choice.
But Mars One has also created marriages, and they've got the wedding rings to prove it.
We have the sun, Earth with its moon, and then Mars with its 2 tiny moons.
Flesta!
Yari Rodriguez and R. Daniel Golden were both applicants to the Mars One program when they met on the Aspiring Martians Facebook page.
Yeah, we're Martians.
Both have made the cut into the Mars 100. You might say theirs is a romance written in the stars.
When I introduce my husband, oh, this is my husband, the Martian.
Or we go outside and we, you know, don't close the door all the way, and the wind pulls the door open. Like, hey, you're letting all the air out, Martian.
Organizers of Mars One say it will cost $6 billion, money to be raised from investors and recouped through broadcast rights, licensing, and brand partnerships. But Yari, an MIT-trained engineer whose mother dressed her in an astronaut onesie as a baby, is in it for the science
Our daily life is valuable data that we can send back. So we are going there as scientists, not just as like reality TV people.
For Peter Deegan Portnoy, meanwhile, the likelihood of leaving this planet hovers somewhere in an uncertain future. But the implications of its possibility have turned out to be up close and very personal.
This is a big mission. It asks a lot. It costs a lot, not just in dollars, but in emotional content. And so each time I ask myself the question, are you willing to do this? Each time I've answered, yes, I'm willing to do this.
And regarding the Mars One bankruptcy, the for-profit arm of Mars One is in discussions right now with a new investment company. Actually, they've got a press conference on Wednesday to announce some sort of new plan.
That's crazy. All right, and back to Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket program. It continues to make progress. Its Crew Dragon spacecraft successfully docked at the International Space Station last week. And SpaceX's ultimate goal? You guessed it, a base in Mars.
Up next, the proof is in the UFO.
He possesses one of the most innovative minds in Hollywood history.
Doug Trumbull is a man with an idea. And the idea is that movies could look more realistic and be more involving than they are.
The force behind the wonders of 2001, Close Encounters, and Blade Runner, one of the true masters of special effects.
The real hero behind this is Douglas Trumbull, who really put it together and created the visuals, which really is what The Ride's all about.
So, what's this Hollywood legend doing in remote New Marlborough, Massachusetts, deep in the woods of the southern Berkshires?
I thought, well, there's something about kind of being out of the mainstream that makes it possible to think out of the mainstream.
Over the last 20 years, Trumbull devoted himself to developing a new technical standard for movie making, an immersive 3D format he calls Magi.
We can do this now. We're in an all-digital world. Let's upgrade the frame rate. Let's upgrade the resolution. Let's upgrade the screen size. Let's upgrade the brightness. Let's upgrade the 3D and make really powerful, immersive movies. That's my mission right now. Computer cut. We built it in the shop below my office.
Inside one of his studio buildings, a custom-built Magi pod, Trumbull demonstrates his new technology to friend and collaborator Mark D'Antonio.
4K lends itself to almost approaching reality, especially at 120 frames per second,
right,
where you don't get any blurring.
Yeah, but even then, I mean, you just saw this shot. There's some really gross motions here, and they're not blurring.
Trumbull's demo film, a 10-minute short about an obsessed UFO hunter.
I admire engineering and I admire workshops, and that's what he has in his trailer, and he's a serious engineer.
I think he's you.
Well, it's kind of autobiographical, that's true. The UFOTOG logo on that printed circuit board is part of the original UFOTOG concept.
Indeed, Douglas Trumbull is a dedicated hunter of UFOs. His UFOTOG, a mobile tracker of anomalies in the skies. Now, he's working with D'Antonio on a smaller, more scalable version of the UFOTOG.
I'm a space nut. I'm hopelessly spacey. But I think the likelihood of life in the universe is really high, and we ought to be on top of it, and we should be taking it very seriously.
The search for extraterrestrial intelligence is a bona fide scientific area of study, and we should pursue it.
Michael Mandillo of BU says over the last 25 years, powerful telescopes like Kepler have confirmed about 5,000 planets in our galaxy, with billions more probable. Discoveries, he says, that make the possibility of life elsewhere almost inevitable.
The answer to possible is always yes.
I don't think the idea of an alien civilization is a speculation, because we know that we exist here on Earth.
Avi Loeb of Harvard is a proponent of what he calls cosmic modesty. The odds are overwhelmingly against our being the only living creatures in the universe.
There is a taboo on discussing extraterrestrial civilizations, and I simply do not understand that, and I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to bring the study of alien civilizations into the mainstream of astronomy.
And so, the search is on. Eyes upward to the heavens, minds wide open.
And I think that it's like within reach right now. It's like seriously within reach.
And UFO hunters and scientists and scholars really are always sort of fighting against this common prejudice that it's all just a little bit wacky.
Yeah, they insist that this is real science, not to be confused with hunting for Bigfoot or reading crystal balls. That is Chronicle for tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Shayna Seymour.
And I'm Anthony Everett. Have a great evening. See you back here tomorrow night at 7:30 for another edition of Chronicle.